Call to order. 48-hour notice, opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting being held on Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023, has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Bullman?
Here.
Mrs. Assone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns? Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mr. Huvater?
Here.
Mr. LaFredo? Mr. Milanovich?
Here.
Mr. Moran?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Ms. Pollak?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
You have quorum? Madeline Johnson?
Here.
Andrew Marucci?
Here.
Alexandra Passes?
Here.
William Cosgrove?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. I recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of August 22nd, 2023. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Pellegrino?
Mr. Bullman?
Yes.
Mrs. Assone?
Abstain.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Huvater?
Abstain.
Mr. Milanovich?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Ms. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie.
And we're now going to move to the student board representative report and oath of office.
Guys, before you give your report, you have to be sworn in front of you. You'll see an oath of office. I'm going to read it to you. You're essentially just going to read it back to me and respond with your name where you need to. If you could stand up and raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Madeline Johnson.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and in this state.
And that I will bear the true faith and allegiance to the same and to the government established in the United States and this state under the authority of the people so help me God.
I state your name.
I, Madeline Johnson.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by the law for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my abilities, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of the office according to the best of my abilities, so help me God.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have a student report for the first month, or no?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm Billy Cosgrove. I am the president of Key Club. And this month we started off the year busy. For the snack stand, we work the football game snack stand. We have the September 30th and October 21st games. Around the elementary school, we have MES tutoring and homework helpers where we go over to the elementary school and help them with their homework after school. Also around town, we have the Manasquan Rec Department where we are helping and assisting with the beach picnic. A few more bigger events, we have the Just Us Girls 5K. We have Harvesting Hope for Mental Health, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and also the Alzheimer Walk.
My name's Madeline Johnson. I'm the Vice President of Key Club. And then in addition to that, we also have the Lighthouse Challenge and the New Jersey Run for Fallen Soldiers, which Mr. Harvey's helping us run in support in honor of Ron Kubik. And then we also have our Thanksgiving food drive, which we require all students that are part of Key Club to participate in by bringing in 10 cans or boxes. In addition, they'll also get more service hours if they bring in a turkey or a coupon for one. And then also in terms of Key Club, we also have the holiday wreath sales where all members of Key Club are required to sell 5 or more wreaths in order to obtain their membership.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Alex Paces, the current student council president of Manasquan High School. I'd like to thank the student body first for giving me the great honor of being able to speak here today, and all of you for having me. As president, more importantly, the direct representative of the student body, I'm obligated to hear the concerns of my classmates and address them the best I can. I'd first like to give an update regarding student council-sponsored events. On August 23rd, the student council held a barbecue for the incoming freshman class with parents for the class 2027, specifically here at the Manasquan High School building. It was a success, and everyone had a great time. On September 6th, the day before the official first day of school, we had a freshman orientation where many members of the student council were present to assist students in navigating the building. And this Thursday, September 21st at 6:30 p.m., student council representatives from each grade will be present at back to school night to allow parents to see upcoming events this school year. As a member of student council since freshman year, I've had to spend a great deal of time speaking with students of all grade levels regarding their experiences here at school. Up until last year, the feedback has remained almost exclusively positive. However, since last year, I've observed extreme satisfaction and disappointment regarding the current tardiness policy found in the discipline section of the Code of Conduct in the Student Handbook. The policy, which was strictly enforced beginning last year following the COVID-19 pandemic, punishes students with a 2-hour after-school detention if they receive 5 unexcused tardies in any capacity throughout the entirety of the school year. For example, if a student arrives at school 1 minute late 5 times from September to June, he or she must sit in detention after school for 120 minutes. Now, keeping this in mind, I would like to make clear that myself and the entire student body recognizes the importance of getting to school on time and imposing punishments on those who practice tardiness. That is undisputed. However, the current 5 late threshold, and especially the 2-hour detention punishment, is viewed as unreasonable and extreme by the student body and many others. The fact that our school is without on-campus parking, although it has improved, in a highly dense community with routinely unanticipated travel delays from 8 sending districts, I do not believe it is unreasonable for a student to be late for 5 minutes over a 10-month period. While tardiness can be excused under certain circumstances on an individual basis, it creates confusion among students and the perception of unequal application. For example, if a student walks into the school building before the late bell rings, but arrives to class a minute or two late, it is the teacher's responsibility to mark the student tardy. Time and time again, though, many have observed faculty members practice discretion on who and when one is marked late. Keeping this in mind, as the representative of the students of Manasquan High School, I urge the board to take action and change the policy by either increasing the 5 lates to a more reasonable number and or reducing the 2-hour after school detention. And if this is not possible at this time, the student body requests that the policy is paused effective immediately. But thank you for your time, I appreciate it. And I would like any insight that's possible. Thank you.
May I? May I? You came to the right place, because this is the policy-making branch of this particular organization. I serve as the chief education officer for this particular organization. And I do serve as a board member, even though I'm not a voting board member. And I am involved in policy discussions. And I want to compliment you for representing your constituency so eloquently. And in your very first meeting, coming to the chief academic officer who is responsible for your education and saying to him, we want to be late more often. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I mean, one thing I think that's a really important skill for you to learn is that when we go into the work world, we have to be prompt. And when I say on time, I'm always 15 minutes early. So for me to say to my student body, and I'm speaking for me, not for my policy-making board, that I'm going to afford you the opportunity to have more times being late to school, I don't think education that's sound for me to look at, because I really believe that this policy is not one that's adhered to strictly. I think I have a very compassionate staff, and I truly believe that if you come and it's your sixth late, but you've tried really hard to come to school and you got a flat tire, if you're coming driving from Spring Lake, and you walk in and you see one of my assistant principals or the principal, and you're going to say to them, I had a flat tire coming to school. It's my sixth late. I think they're going to compassionately look at you and say, did you get your flat tire changed? Here's the pass. Go to class.
If I may.
You sure may.
Thank you. So I completely understand what you're saying. I respect the statement. 100%. The only thing is, when lates are excused or, you know, the policy bends, it creates, in my opinion, not my opinion actually, the opinion of the student body, that the rules are applied unequally, and that in instances, especially with teachers, that preferential treatment is given to certain students.
Well, that's a different discussion.
Yes, and also...
That's not a policy discussion.
Yes.
That's more of a staff discussion that's got to be done on a personal level. And I want you to understand that every school district in the state of New Jersey has quality performance indicators. We are judged, and Manasquan High School, because of my wonderful student body and my excellent staff, is a highly effective school system because we meet all five indicators on a high level. And one of those indicators focuses on education and curriculum. And inside those indicators for education and curriculum, number one, are absenteeism and tardiness of the student body. So when we get, they call a quality review, it's called QSAC, every three, Jesse, I'm gonna look to you because I'm gonna say 3 to 5 years, I believe it's 3 years. We're coming up on our third year, which I will be here for, but I'll make sure we're prepared for it. We're highly effective, but they look at tardies and they look at absences because we have to maintain, according to state statute, a certain level. So we don't make these rules and regulations just out of the air. We're held accountable by the state of New Jersey because we are state funded through taxation. Good?
Yeah, just is the five lates the maximum that the state of New Jersey requires per year per student for tardiness?
No, the school district has set that standard. And we have a percentage. The state works on percentages. They don't work on numbers like that, but those numbers eventually become percentages. Okay? So I don't want to lead you astray with that.
All right. And just one last thing.
But wait, before you know, yeah. I'm a pretty practical individual,
yes,
and very transparent. And I'm speaking for me, not the people I sit with. As I move through the year, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't happy with either our attendance or our tardies, our lates, for the last 2 years. And last year, I saw an uptick. You guys got better at coming to school on time. I'm willing to look this year
at how we're doing and if we're maintaining a certain level of excellence. And then, I was going to say February, November, I'll have a discussion with you again to where I see us, and we'll talk about this concept again, all right? Because I really want to see if the student body really wants to see us look at lakes, our tardies should drastically go down so that five number, even if it was 10, would make a difference because everybody's getting to school. So I'm asking you to bring the message to your constituency that if they work hard and they show us that that five means nothing, that 10 would mean nothing, I'm willing to have that discussion. Good?
If I may, just once, and one more statement. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
No, I just want to
I think this
bases.
Is good.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I would like to ask the board if they believe.
Okay, now you asked them, so I'm not going to answer.
Okay. It doesn't, anyone.
All right.
If they believe that the five late threshold, that's the number five, and the 2 hour detention as a punishment after school is reasonable and attainable.
Don't use
enough.
The word punishment, let's use the word consequence or character builder. I mean, it sounds like, you know, we have paddles and whips. It's not really a punishment. It's just a consequence that we have.
Yeah. So I'd just like to ask if they think that number and the consequence is
thank
reasonable
you.
And attainable.
Anybody?
Are we allowed to answer?
Oh, yeah, he's asked the board.
Okay. No, I don't. I would give you more. And I think 2 hours is too long.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah.
For a 5 minute late, half an hour, I think, just my personal opinion, I think five is not enough, and I think 2 hours is too much.
I don't know that I would have an answer directly to your question right now. I'd want to look at what the progressive discipline policy is and what other consequences. What other actions get you into the 2 hour detention consequence and how that decision was made? I want to know more about why that policy is what it is before I would be able to answer your question.
If I may add something, while we are decreasing the amount of weights on a state level, that looks better. There's also the fact that on a state level, we are increasing the amount of detentions. And we asked earlier when we talked to Mr. Goodall, there are repeat offenders included, but there was over a 30% basic increase in detentions. And is that really a fair trade-off in limiting the amount of weights on a state level, how that looks?
The state doesn't look at detentions, they look at suspensions. There's a violence and vandalism report that I have to do twice a year. And in that report, there are acts of violence, vandalism, harassment, intimidation, bullying, but we only count suspensions. The state only counts suspension, so that's not indicative of, doesn't impact a highly effective standard. Okay?
Isn't the bigger point whether or not the consequence, was it changed recently? Is it being enforced differently? And is the number drastically decreased in the amount of tardiness because of the policy? And if that's the case, then the policy would be working. But if that's not the case, if there wasn't a problem to begin with, and this didn't address the problem, then maybe we should address the problem differently. The
policy has been around since 2011, and it has, the policy is being effective right now. As I said, over the last 2 years, we had high rate of tardies, and I've seen we've been better over the last year. I don't have stats for you, but I can get them for you. But it's been decidedly better over the last year. So the policy is working.
Are reasons for tardiness?
I'm sorry?
Are reasons for the tardiness documented?
Yes. I believe that they're in a discipline.
Due to the fact there's numerous towns traveling here.
Yeah.
Could be road construction, could be accidents, you know, that.
That's why you're giving five.
But over the course of 10 months, it seems excessive. Mm-hmm. For 2 hours. 2 hours, in my opinion, seems excessive.
You as a board feel that this policy has to be discussed again, you guys can change the policy.
I just think more often than not, the practicality is that students are late a lot of times because their parents are late getting them here. I don't think that, I think there's the student that drives himself here that shows up late, and then there's the student that comes here with their parents that are constantly running crazy in the morning and getting here late. I don't, I don't know if that if it's being handled the same way for everybody or not.
Why? Well, I would
that's
think
the,
it would
I mean,
be consistent.
The point. I mean, you have to be on time. I mean, nobody argues it at the time. But I think it's a is it a punishment? Is it a consequence? Is it helping? If it's helping, then maybe a way to grin bear. But
it's helping.
It's not really helping.
It's helping.
Also, the lack of parking that's provided is probably not does not help the situation.
Well, there's always been the same amount of parking, and there's always been the same time to come to school.
Right.
So those things haven't changed. We can't just we can't use those things as. I mean, I'm willing to blame the parents, but I'm not going to blame the parents.
Hey guys, look, how I feel about being on time, it's a choice. Okay, if you're late a couple of times because of traffic, get out of bed earlier. You get here a little sooner, you leave the house a little earlier. Being on time is something you're going to have to deal with, not just now, but in college, and then when you get a job outside of school, it's something that's always going to be there. But I will say this, if you guys want to come back next week or next meeting with a proposal of what you think is fair to replace the policy that we have set, I'd be more than happy to listen to it. And if it's fair, we'll discuss it as a board. How's that sound?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, but just to tag on, I would like to know those that have detention, how often they're staying for the full 2 hours. Is the proctor letting them out early because they're like, I got to go do something, so what's the point of keeping you guys here for 2 hours? I mean, that would be interesting to know.
Well, I think that the proctor is a stipend position, and I would assume that they're here exactly the amount of time they're supposed to be here, or they wouldn't be receiving a stipend. That's just my guess.
Also, it would be helpful to know the increase in detentions across the board over those years.
As I said when we started, we'll listen. And they have.
Democracy in action.
There you go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Nice job, by the way.
You did a great job presenting that.
Don't ever do it again. Okay. That was a joke. Scratch that. Whatever.
Not the minutes.
Okay.
Now, you're willing, welcome to stay, or you're welcome to go to your homework. It's your choice.
I have a test.
But we do have cookies in the back, so Walter cookies, so please take some on the way out.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Take care, guys. Thank you. So, now I'd like to move to our principal presentations, if I may.
Oh, hey, guys, can you leave those oaths? If you could sign them and leave them at the table, that'd be great. I'm sorry. I meant to say that.
Okay.
Really?
Okay. You can just leave them right on the table. I'll get them after the meeting. Thank you.
Ms. Mineta, representing the lower and upper elementary school tonight, Ms. Mineta.
We do it all.
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having us here tonight. We're excited to share a little bit on behalf of Ms. Palayo and I about the start of the school year. I'm going to start by just discussing what's been going on at our lower elementary school. We're off to a wonderful start. Our focus this year is really in accordance with our board goals related to instruction, improving instruction, providing different avenues for our teachers to develop their instructional strategies. So Jackie had asked me to share with you about the early literacy cohort. So that had been started last summer working with the kindergarten group. They are now on year two of their cohort. So they are learning about small groups, looking at the screening tools that we use to help us to better determine what the needs are of our kindergarten group. And then now in year one, they've brought that up through first and second grade. So the kindergarten group is on year two, first and second grade teams are on year one of this early literacy cohort. They're focusing on foundations, phonics, our new literacy curriculum, Wit and Wisdom. The teachers have received quite a bit of professional development. And that's all going very well. They're all learning about the new materials, the new strategies. My own second grader comes home and says, today we did a notice and wonder, and today, you know, we did think, pair, share. And so it's very exciting to hear the kids talking about all the various ways in which they're putting their learning into action. We are also working with Kristen Walsh, who is our curriculum supervisor, to teach those K-3 teachers how to administer the DIBELS assessment. They're doing an apprenticeship where they're being mentored into learning how to do that so that they can gradually, we can release them to be able to do those screenings by themselves by the middle of the year. Those screenings are important because they allow the teachers to better get to know their individual students and then better diagnose the work they're going to do with them in small group instruction. We do have a screening tool that we've been working on and working on generating literacy profiles in advance of parent-teacher conferences so that parents can better understand where their child is, what the child's skill set is, and what they're working on in the classroom. So one of the other pieces that's been important, we've been working on K through five, is that we're taking a look at grading. And what are we grading? What are we using to develop those grades? What are grades communicating to parents and to students? So in K to two, those are standards-based report cards. So they are taking a look at the types of assessments, coming up with common definitions, and determining what are the sources of data that are being used to determine the grades on the report cards. Three to five is coming up with, again, common thematic assessment types that they're using, developing percentages that make sense so that the grades are communicating something appropriate to parents and students. Really trying to make sure that we're improving that homeschool communication so everybody knows where the child is at all times in terms of their abilities along a continuum. Pre-K continues to expand at MES, so there are now three full-time pre-K 4 classrooms and one pre-K 3, which is a half-day classroom. They are doing the beginnings of phonics and phonemic awareness in those pre-K, so that's great. That's really going to set our kindergarten students up for success, so the more popular and populated our pre-K program becomes, the better we have that kindergarten readiness factor, which is going to allow us to really shoot forward. They do use a tool called Hatch in our pre-K, which allows them to monitor for kindergarten readiness. It's a great tool. It gives us a lot of good information when we are developing our kindergarten classes. We also have another tool called the Dial Screener, and that helps to, again, pinpoint the needs of the students and to develop that small group instruction so that it's really targeted. So all of these bits and pieces are really going to help our teachers better understand the students that are in front of them, better understand, diagnose, and then also prescribe exactly what those students need. And just to continue, Jackie's done a great job with the Warrior shout outs. We have our first Warrior Wednesday tomorrow, so everyone will be wearing all their Warrior gear. We have a great new program called Standout Warriors, where teachers can really nominate a student who's done a great job of demonstrating the character traits that we're pointing out. We're continuing with what it means to be a warrior. That includes the pancakes with the principal. The kids are already filling out the shout out forms in the hallway for when they see their classmates doing something really great. We do Think About It Thursdays on the announcements, where we give a scenario to the kids to think about and talk about in their classes and with their classmates. What would you do if, right, if you saw a student, for example, sitting alone at recess, you know, and they looked like they didn't have anybody to play with? Like, what would you do in that circumstance? And giving the kids the tools to kind of think about and then put into action what we're teaching them in those areas. We have a new counseling newsletter that's going out where the parents can find out more about some of these character and social emotional initiatives in the classroom, so be on the lookout for those as well. Okay. Now in middle school, we have been, again, in K to five, really focused on that new literacy program. We are starting off the year reinforcing all of our procedures with locks, with our wearing of our IDs, with trying not to be tardy. We are laying the foundation at the middle school for our students to go to the high school. It's very important that there's a consistent set of expectations kind of across, you know, both sides of the street. That's important to both of us. Really establishing the reason behind that and why we have to do it, and getting them in the habit so that it's second nature. On the bottom right, you'll see there's a lock. It looks a little bit like a bike lock. We have some students for whom at the middle school age, just those combination locks can be very, very tricky. So we've purchased a series of these locks for students that need them. We're giving them out on a case-by-case basis so that they can actually set their own combination, which is easier for them to remember, and it's easier for them to open them up. I don't know if you recall your middle school days, but it is the number one source of stress for middle school kids often. So if it's not working for them traditionally, we find another way, which is pretty much our motto at MES in the middle school level. If it's not working for you, let's figure out what will work for you and make it work. So that's been a really great addition to our set of tools for our incoming middle schoolers. We have so many returning students, but we've been really lucky this year at the middle school. We have so many new students who have joined us this year. So we're doing a really important and, you know, I think a good job of welcoming our new warriors into our community. It's been really nice to see some fresh new faces at each grade level from 5 to 8, making sure that they, you know, have people to buddy up with, that they're eating lunch with people, that they're playing with other kids at recess, that they have connections that they're making. So we're working on that. We do have two new electives. I've talked to you about these before. One is, actually there's three new electives. I left one off the slide and I apologize. We have one that is, we develop internally. That's, we call it the three C's. It's about community service and civics and current events. It's a history-based elective. And the kids are really enjoying that. They're doing a great job of learning about local government and their power. So I wish they could have seen what took place here tonight because they probably would really have enjoyed that. We have a Project Lead the Way app creators course, and we also have a Project Lead the Way medical detectives course, which is forensics. So we're kind of gaining momentum with those new elective courses and giving the kids some just different broad-based experiences. With the goal that we set for the middle school, we are working in our professional learning communities to continue to have those discussions. We are also talking about grades. What do grades mean? What are we grading? What do our grades communicate to students? What do they communicate to parents? We are working on common grading profiles across our departments. So math might look a little bit different than language arts, right? But we are talking about what those percentages should be for various things like homework, how much should homework weigh versus how much should a performance assessment weigh? And really having good conversations about what are we assessing overall. So when you start with the grading, it actually opens up avenues to have a lot of discussions about assessment in general, which is an important tool. We have the start of the year, our CPAG, which is our Special Education Parent Advisory Group, has already met for the first time. They're going to continue to meet. We also have an ESL parent committee, so our English language learners, those parents are working together to come up with some great tools for our ELL students throughout the year. And we have back to school nights coming up on the 27th and the 28th. The 27th is for pre-K to 5 because parents go on that night and they spend most of the time with the single classroom teacher that their child spends most of the day with. And then we have the other evening is for 6 through 8 where parents will follow their child's schedule through their middle school day. And that's on the 28th. So we're looking forward to greeting our parents and letting them see and experience what a day in the life is like at MES.
Questions? Well, Megan, the time is coming when we have to have a discussion. Hopefully in November, for where we're going with our blue ribbon. Mm-hmm. We have to choose which direction we'd like to go. So we'll meet between now and November, mm-hmm. and I'll meet with you and Jackie, and we'll discuss so we can put it to the board exactly what we're choosing and going to best assist with. So we can set sort of the direction before I go.
Great.
Okay?
We're ready.
I knew you would be, and you've been working hard at this and collecting data, and I truly appreciate it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Great. Thanks. We are too.
Yeah. Mr. Goodall.
Dr. Cage.
Are you here to talk to me about attendance?
Mm-hmm. The bench. Just looking back a little bit in the summer here at the high school.
I said attendance, not tardy.
What's that?
I said attendance, not tardy.
Who knows what we're talking about? Just to let the board know that 135 students either received 2.5 or 5 credits on their transcript for participating in our ever-growing online summer learning hybrid courses. Those were the courses that, as previously discussed, that were offered, and we had a tremendous turnout, and I know the kids had a great experience with their teachers. And so 135 kids got credits during the summer.
Wow.
So I just see this growing and growing. And this gives kids an advantage. We already offer 160 credit opportunities without doing any summer work, but certainly their transcript will just grow and grow and produce a better profile as they apply to colleges and universities. So there were no changes to our code of conduct this year, and just some data. I happened to put that slide in before Alex was talking to me about this. As a result, after COVID, when we went back full time, certainly there were a lot of kids absent, a lot of kids late. So we put in and changed our code of conduct and put in what I feel is very reasonable expectations. It's pretty commonplace at other high schools to have those thresholds. And we saw a reduction of absences of 35% and then late to the schools in the morning of almost 50% in the first year. And you have to be here to learn. And that's why we did it. Excellent news. Our AP, I know Mr. Coppola presented on a lot of success that we had as a result of really putting in a strong action plan to increase student achievement. And this year we're offering 23 AP courses, and I can't even believe this figure, but it's true. 792 tests will have to be ordered who are taking AP exams. Looking at the data, I've never seen that many at Manasquan High School. Yes, sir.
Rob, are those unique students, meaning they're not, like people aren't counted twice?
They are counted more than once.
Okay.
We have kids taking upwards of six or seven in some cases.
I know.
But that's an extraordinary number, 792.
Wow. That's awesome.
For this year.
Yeah.
Here's Remy's first day selfie. Well, her first day school picture. I know that's very popular on social media. And just to recap, as we moved into the opening of school, we had our annual freshman orientation, a class of 2027 barbecue on the 23rd. It was well attended by parents and students. We had our half day, we've done this, I believe, 2 years in a row now, our half day bell schedule run through on the 6th. And we had our first day of classes on the 7th. And our back to school night is this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. We also are offering a financial aid seminar at 5:30 here in the Media Center. And anyone who wants to talk about advanced placement courses, we're meeting in the gymnasium to discuss AP and if your child is interested in AP.
Are they going to discuss International Baccalaureate at that as well?
We can add that to the presentation.
I spoke to a couple of guidance counselors today, and I think that maybe it's time for us to bring that message to the sending district. Because I think our first offerings will begin next year, next September. Am I right?
I believe so. Is that right, though? It's at the end of this presentation.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Well, compliments on that.
The AP presentation we've been doing the past few years, and I also didn't want to step on toes of the others presenting.
I stepped on those toes. Sorry.
The IB as they go to the sending districts and stuff. So we will be presenting on IB. These are some of our important course offerings that we offer this year for the first time. AP Physics C, which is the calculus-based physics for all of our engineering students. It's an excellent course to have on your transcript. Our capstone project Lead the Way engineering class, engineering design and development, as promised, the two law classes, social media and internet marketing to beef up our business program, and then AP European history. We wound up having two sections, full classes. Wow. Mrs. Biroc did a great job.
That's good.
We have fall sports beginning. Yes. We are preparing for a verification for International Baccalaureate. We are in the professional development stage and course design phase. Just one slide. Thank you. Right now, Mr. Coppola is organizing a group of teachers to, once again, who are going to teach the classes, visit Shore Regional High School with the corresponding staff member at Shore to get information from them. These are the teachers and classes who have agreed, and they will be going to different varied professional development opportunities. Some of it is online, some of it is in person. And then Mrs. Kenny and I will be joining this administrative team in St. Pete as well for our continued professional development.
I think you very successfully met the first two hurdles. First, getting teachers actively engaged with wanting to be involved and we've done that. And the second is setting up our professional development. So this can be the year when we choose our course structure and we professionally develop. So I think we're well on our way starting in September. Nicely done. Any questions? Plus 23 AP classes.
I do have one question. There are three administrators and coordinators. So what is the function of, I understand the head of school, but the other two, the counseling and the
From the scheduling and guidance perspective for Mrs. Kenny. And you see Mrs. Holler, that's kind of quasi-administrative. The children are required for the diploma program to do a service project. So IB requires you to hire a coordinator to oversee those projects for the kids, for the diploma project.
Thank you. Well done. Concludes our presentation.
Are you bringing the puppy back?
I'll bring it.
Yes, please.
Okay. Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of performance of, promotion or disciplining of, any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one. Would anyone like to be heard on items not on this agenda? Seeing no one, we'll move to the discussion items.
Thank you. Regarding the discussion items, first I'd like to read an email regarding our Jack Nicholson Theater that I received today and just give a shout out to our foundation. This is from Rob Schatzman. Good morning. Along with the updated punch list emailed to you on September 11th, I also want to share an overview of what we've spent this summer and in total on the Jack Nicholson Theater. Our best estimate for this summer's expenditures is in a range of $110,000 to $120,000. The exact amount will be determined when we have final invoices from Mid-Atlantic Production Services. The Liv Morrow Foundation contributed $60,000 to the above amounts. Project to date estimated expenditures are $210,000 to $220,000. Out of these total spent, the Liv Morrow Foundation has contributed $90,000. Manasquan High School Alumni Foundation currently has another $30,000 in our accounts to spend, plus roughly 270 theater chair seat plaques left to sell at $500 per plaque. With the capital we have in hand, plus future chair plaque sales, as well as potential additional large gifts we may receive from the Liv Morrow Foundation or others, I'm comfortable stating we'll have a successful finishing touch completion to the Jack Nicholson Theater over the next 12 months. Our chairs for the Jack Nicholson Theater that we have put in the general budget will be delivered tomorrow, and they will be installed by the end of next week. Peter, am I correct on that?
I think by the end of this week, actually. We'll open it on, Monday.
You were only supposed to say yes, but by the end of this week. That great project again, and that we have collaborated on, just like the place we're sitting right now. Regarding diversity and equity, we have joined the New Jersey Consortium for Excellence Through Equity in conjunction with the New Jersey Association of School Administrators and Pennsylvania University. I put that information in the Friday packet for everybody, and I believe it's also for a handout tonight if you wanted to just go through it. That focuses on District Goal 1 that we have for diversity and equity this year. So we're working towards accomplishing. My goal is to be well on the way to accomplishing all five goals by January, and I will present that in December so you'll have it. Personnel will be discussed in executive session. We're currently involved, the board is, in a superintendent search, and they have dates, and there'll be surveys going out to the community within a month to focus on some of the requirements that the community has for this position. Regarding policy, regulations, and amendments for the first reading, we have a tuition program policy for non-residents and non-sending district regular education students being presented tonight for first reading. And I'm going to turn to Pete to just focus on the changes we have in that policy and why those changes are existing.
Sure. So the policy is kind of hand in hand with my my bullet under finance right below it. The only change in the wording of the policy is striking the $100 deposit that was required for an application to be submitted previously. Our application process used to be a $100 deposit along with a complete application that mostly consisted of demographic information had to be submitted. There'd be a short interview, and generally students would be accepted for enrollment. This more reflects a change in our posture than our policy to make enrollment decisions more based on merit and have students provide a more robust application. So we revised the application to include student records, things like their test scores from their prior schools, their discipline records from their prior schools, letters of recommendation from the prior schools, and any other, you know, interesting contributing factors that might consider in their decision to attend school here. Given that we are now requiring them to do a little more legwork on the front end before the application, we kind of figured the collateral of having them make a $100 deposit was no longer necessary. Also, from a practical standpoint, when that $100 deposit was made, oftentimes, if a denial, you know, came to fruition, would be because class sizes were too big at a certain grade level or something that the parent didn't really have visibility into, so we oftentimes felt it unfair to keep the non-refundable deposit anyway and returned it. So it kind of brings us more in line with what our current practice is. Just a little update on enrollment in general. We currently have 25 paid students at the high school who are attending school under this policy, as well as 10 free students. So those would be students of staff members who are able to attend for free based on the MEA agreement. At MES, we have 44 students in the pre-K attending, and that they're all tuition-based. We have 11 students K-8 attending on a paid basis, so out-of-district students whose parents are paying for them to be here, and 26 students who are attending for free under the MEA agreement. So we have it's a pretty significant number of students in district here attended on this policy before the MEA agreement policy.
Nicely done. How about our construction updates, Pete?
Construction updates, we have chairs coming to the auditorium.
By the end of the week.
so just a little more on that. We do have the chairs getting delivered tomorrow morning. There'll be a slight disruption to the back parking lot. We're going to lose about 10 spots while the chairs are being delivered. All the installation is going to take place, hopefully, tomorrow through Friday. And like I said, we'll have it open on Monday, if not Tuesday of next week. So we're starting to wrap that up. In relation to that, we are intending for next board meeting, October's board meeting, to be a hand-in-hand with the ribbon cutting, where we'll celebrate the foundation's contributions as well as the board's efforts to make the ring as good as it's going to be. Quick update on summer stuff, since that construction that took place since we were last here. The BOE parking lot has been paved. If you've been down there, that's a huge improvement. The MES McAdam has been paved. It's due to be striped this week. The roof was completed. Again, if you've driven by the high school, you've seen it. I think it looks great. Hopefully you all agree. And the framing of the field house, the additional field house door was completed. We're now just wrapping up those summer projects, putting the finishing touches on them, and we will move on to the main bid for the referendum, which is set to take place in November, possibly December, depending on how many addenda are issued as part of the bidding process. Yeah, done?
Do we have a new fence across the street yet, higher fence?
We do not. It's going to be included in the project.
Okay.
Anyone else on construction or tuition?
Oh, but I have something to say. Mr. Goodall, I forgot to mention, I talked to Don Bramley today, and if you just remember in the morning to reach out, I got I wanted our band to be involved in the Columbus Day Parade. So I asked him to call Michael Blondina. I gave him the number. I'm sure Don's going to take care of it, but in case I forget tomorrow, I was going to tell you during your presentation, but they have been actively engaged in Columbus Day Parades before. And they weren't last year, so I wanted to see them again this year. And I know we have a new band director. So that's all I had to say, Pete.
That's all I have, unless anyone has any other questions.
May I now move to the superintendent's report?
Yes.
Enrollment. Total enrollment as of September 15th, 1,450 students. In the high school, 948. In the elementary school, 502. In the high school, on August 3rd, we had a fire drill. On August 3rd, we also had a shelter in place, meeting both mandates that we have from the state regarding fire drills and safety drills. In the elementary school, on August 10th, we had a shelter in place. On August 31st, we had a fire drill. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying, there are no reports of either the high school or the elementary school. Now I'd like to ask Mr. Place what he has to add this evening. Mr. Place.
Sure, just quickly some stats from our laptop distribution, which is basically complete at this point. So we have about 1,170 students eligible in grades 5 to 12. So as you know, parents have the option to pay a $60 technology use fee that covers accidental damage. The revenue from that goes back into the program. This year, 76% of students so far, you know, paid that fee, which is pretty much on target where we were before. So that's a little over $53,000 in revenue. We're happy to see that over 50% of those payments are done online at this point, 57% in fact, the rest are made in person. The other encouraging stat is that over 1,000 of those, over 90% of those people also did the agreement form online. So that's, you know, reducing the paperwork and making it a lot easier for everybody. I can't speak to exactly how many of those forms were done online from a student in line calling their parent and saying do it on the parent portal. Significant, but it's nice to have that option, which makes it easier than before when they had to like take the paper. So anyway, those are all, you know, very consistent with prior years. The only other thing I'll mention tonight is the board may recall that over the last 2 years, we were involved in applying for a federal grant for the Emergency Connectivity Fund. This was sort of the COVID relief money that was allocated federally. Kind of through the E-rate program and through the FCC. So last year, you know, we were eligible and we received over $130,000, you know, as a result of that program. What it requires, and you might remember, we did this 2 years ago, we had to do a survey, right, of basically asking, you know, our families and our staff how many, you know, would have had a need for an electronic device during that time period. If we had not provided one, basically, would you have had one or would that have been a hardship? So this is the round three of that grant that's taking place right now. They're a little behind in how it flows year to year, but we do need to do another survey. I'll be doing hopefully either end of this week or early next week that will ask about last year, 2022-23 school year, and that will be used as a basis for applying for that future money that might be available to us. So I would just ask, when you see that survey come out, please take the survey and consider whether you have a need for a device.
Thank you. That concludes the superintendent's report for this evening. If there are no questions. Seeing none.
Can I have a motion to approve and accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Obiter? Mr. Catani?
Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassoon?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoppeter?
Yes.
Mr. Milanovic?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Does anyone need anything separated out from the Manasquan general items, numbers 15 through 22? Can I have a motion for Manasquan items 15 to 22?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassoon, Mr. Serino, are there any questions on those items?
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassoon?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoppeter?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan sending districts items numbers 23 through 43? Motion for items 23 to 43. Mr. Hovener, Mr. Pellegrino.
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassoon?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoppeter?
Yes.
Mr. Milanovic?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to discuss? Can I have a motion to adjourn to executive session?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Catani?
Mr. Baldwin, Mrs. Bassoon? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Got it.
Mr. Baldwin?
Here.
Mrs. Bassoon?
Yes.
Mr. Burns? Mr. Carey? Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoppeter?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo? Mr. Milanovic?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Ms. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gary? Oh, we have a quorum. Sorry, we have a quorum.
Can I have a motion for the Manasquan personnel item number 47?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Hoger?
Mr. Goldman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassoon?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoppeter?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Ms. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Harry?
Can I have a motion for the Manasquan Sending District's personnel item number 48? Mr. Pellegrino? Mr. Moran?
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassoon?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoppeter?
Yes.
Mr. Milanovic?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Pellegrino.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.